Welcome to the Alt Meet and Greet podcast at the UC Berkeley Alt.Meet Lab, where students and researchers are exploring how to create healthier, humane, and sustainable foods. My name is Keith McAleer, and in this podcast, we will interview leading researchers, entrepreneurs, and innovators of alternative foods as they visit our lab. Today, we will speak with Professor Atsejan Vandergoot from Wageningen University. Professor Vandergoot is a pioneer in the research of plant-based meats. Okay, so you are here at UC Berkeley at the Sutarja Center for Entrepreneurship and Technology. What brings you here to UC Berkeley?
Yeah, Professor Ricardo San Martin invited me to give a lecture in his class on meat alternatives. He's inviting all kinds of experts, and my role is to tell students a bit about the technology behind the making of current meat alternatives, future directions, but also stress the importance of how difficult it is to really make a product which outperforms chicken meat, for example, on sustainability.
Great. And at your university and lab, you've been working on the problem of developing meat alternatives for quite some time, I think since 2010. So what made you be interested in working on this problem?
Now, sustainability is a topic which is very close to my heart. And it's clear that the large meat consumption as we do now in the Western world is clearly not sustainable. One route to reduce meat consumption is to create alternatives for meat. Part can be alternative products like whole seed products, whole grain products. And another approach is to make products that really resemble meat. And the more those products resemble meat, the easier it is for consumers to replace part of their meat with those types of products.
Great. And then since you started your lab, how has the world changed? What have you learned in your research in these past 8 years or so?
A lot of things has changed. I think especially in the last 2-3 years, a lot of things has changed. Around 2010, the topic was quite exceptional. It was rare, not so much interest from companies, but it certainly changed along the past 5-6 years, I would say. And I think a real revolution was in 2016. Then suddenly also big companies became very much interested in this topic.
So was there something that happened in 2016 to cause the corporations to be more interested, or was it just kind of a random occurrence?
I think in the Paris Conference Treaty, the diet and food was first mentioned as a cause of climate change, for example. So I think people start to realize that it's not only cars and planes that are a problem, but also how we make our foods.
Yeah, so that's a very good transition to talking about the technology that you developed at your lab. So you're very, very well known for working on Couette cell technology to develop better textures for meat. One of the big issues with plant-based meat products is that they don't have the mouthfeel of regular meat. Can you tell us about how you developed this technology and how it works?
Couette device is simply a device consisting of two cylinders, of which one of the cylinders is rotating, and as a result of that, the material is deformed via a so-called simple shear flow pattern. So if you take a certain mixture, in our situation, soy and gluten, you can get a pronounced fibrous structure if you place that mixture into our Couette device.
That's great. So then, texture is one aspect of the problem of developing plant-based meat. Has your lab worked on any of the other problems, such as taste, product development, price, or any of these other issues that are difficult in producing plant-based meat products?
Yeah, and the next step is we have the texture, and people are quite enthusiastic about the texture. So taste is another one. That's why we collaborate in our consortium with Chifunan. They are responsible. They have a lot of experience with the taste. So that's, let's say, how the collaboration will work. The other part is the cost. What you've seen is that our process is relatively simple. I would call it elegant. It's just a vision that we should not completely destructure plant material and then try to build up again. No, we should make use of the material, of the full potential of the material, and just alter the structure, so subtly change it. It can become much cheaper than current technology.
So looking forward, there are still many challenges left before alternative meats become very mainstream. But what are the biggest challenges that face scientists today in order to make these a reality?
I think the first challenge is to make attractive products, good structure, good taste. I think there are products on the market which do not meet those criteria. Second, it should become they should become cheaper. I think they are now quite expensive. So just for the upper class, let's say, and if this product should become a success, it should be available for everyone. And theoretically, since they require less input, they should become cheaper. And the third point is that meat alternatives now heavily rely on soy and gluten, and we would like to have alternatives for those ingredients.
What have you learned from working with Ricardo over the past year on alternative meats?
What I see here, if I'm in the Bay Area, I'm now here for 2 weeks, is the vibe and the entrepreneurship and really the energy of students to make changes. That's really impressive. I think we can learn a lot from that in Europe. Just start doing things. And what I hope to bring is that it's also good to think a little bit about the concept and what are the consequences. Is it as easy as you think of what might be technical hurdles that you have to overcome?
Great. So I think that's all we have today. So thank you very much, Professor, for visiting our lab. And we will see you again at the next semester.